this morning with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the comfort which you have given us as our good shepherd, as you feed us with your word in the very presence of our enemies. We pray that you open our hearts now by your Holy Spirit this morning and prepare them to receive the comfort that you've given your sheep. We pray this in your name. Amen. We'd like to begin this morning, as we usually do, by welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us by means of the tape. The service is coming today from La Crosse, Wisconsin, being a speakerphone going over to Beaver Dam. We're still having good, beautiful fall weather here in Wisconsin as it's shortening the winter and temperatures up near 60 every day, and it's a beautiful place to be. We're thankful that we can share things with you, and I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with us to John chapter 10. The text today is in verses 27 through 30. I'd like to just read them through right now and then go back and make some comments on them as the Holy Spirit has given things to us. The words are the words of Jesus. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We've been studying the 10th chapter of John, and we call this the Good Shepherd chapter. It's one of the most comforting chapters you're going to find anywhere in the Bible, especially when you look at the context of it. And when you read the 10th chapter of John, you can't help but have your mind go back to the beautiful 23rd Psalm. Perhaps the most famous and well-known section of all Scripture. And probably Psalm 23 has guided more of God's people through the valley of the shadow of death into eternal glory than any other piece of Scripture. And one of the verses in that psalm is quite interesting as I studied the text today. And the psalm, of course, is spoken by the sheep. And in the first part of the psalm, the sheep talks about his shepherd. And in the last part of the psalm, the sheep talks to his shepherd. And one of the verses in that psalm says this: the sheep talking to the shepherd, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And God only knows the sheep did have enemies in the Holy Land. There were lion roaring about, bear, wolf. There were plenty of enemies. But yet in the middle of these enemies, the good shepherd prepared them a pasture, so they could eat without fear of their enemies. And that's exactly what we have here. The whole context of John 10 is hostility. The Pharisees have been attacking mercilessly. First of all, they're plotting the death of Jesus. That's been going on now for quite some time already. And then secondly, they have already declared that anyone who confesses that Jesus is the Christ should be put out of the synagogue. And just recently, to add teeth to their bark, they have excommunicated the man that was born blind. I think this is an example here of the most vicious attack that has ever been attacked on in all Scripture. The devil attacking this man, this newly converted man, with everything he had, finally reviling him and casting him out. And this is the context. And the Lord Jesus is not speaking in friendly territory here. He's speaking to the enemy. And finally, come to the point where God is going to have the last word. And in effect, he tells the enemy, "Now you sit down and you keep your mouth shut and you listen." And now he gives us what we could call a rope of seven strands that binds us to him forever. And in this beautiful, beautiful, comforting section, which was spoken face to face with the enemy, could rightly be called the eternal security of God's elect. Let's move through it, take little by little. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." The tremendous contrast here between this verse and the previous one. "You believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you." And you notice the order here. The Pharisees were not his sheep because they didn't believe on him. They didn't believe on him because they weren't his sheep. And likewise here, the ones he's talking about in verse 27 are not his sheep because they believe in him. It's the other way around. They believe in him because they are his sheep. And God comes to his chosen sheep and gives them the ability to hear and understand because they are his sheep. Proverbs 20 verse 12 has it this way: "The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them." So God has given, we'll get into this in a little while, God has given his son some sheep. And God comes to these sheep, which are every bit as lost and condemned as anybody else. And he gives them ears that can hear and eyes that can see because they are his sheep. Jesus says they are my sheep. Why are they his? Because they were given to him, that's why. They were given to him by his Father from before the foundation of the world. And this is taught in many places of Scripture, but we're going to look at one this morning in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3, 4, and 5. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." That's how far back this goes. Before creation. "Hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." Now, let Satan do what he may, he can't change this. These sheep were chosen, the sheep were chosen from before the foundation of the world, before the devil was even created. And nothing that Satan can do can change it. They can rile at the rail at the blind man and kick him out of the church, but that's not going to hurt him. I remember Jesus found him. And the last we saw of him, he was worshiping his Savior. He's his sheep. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." This means a lot more than just having a vague acquaintance with them. I thought of Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 28 to 30. "Fear not them which killed the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. And the whole setting of this chapter is hostility, just like John chapter 10, verse 17, beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake for a testimony against them and again the Gentiles. Or verse 22, ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. And I've kind of noticed in Scripture that the stronger the opposition is, the greater the comfort is that the shepherd gives to sheep. And so that's what we have right here. Who would guess that the good shepherd even counts the number of hairs on your head? Intimate knowledge that he has. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. And he guides their steps. Everything in your life is guided by him. There are no accidents in your life. Everything is under his control. And that's why we can say there is no such thing as bad weather in the life of a child of God. There are only different kinds of good weather. And the shepherd sends these to you when you need them. The terrible contrast is in Matthew chapter 7, verse 23, when he says to the heathen, I never knew you. And that doesn't mean that he didn't know what they were up to, or that he didn't control them. He has no interest in them. They're children of the devil. They belong to him. His interest is in his sheep. Very, very calmly now, right to the enemy, looking him eyeball to eyeball. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Not they should follow me. Not they might follow me. Not I wish they would follow me. Not some of them will follow. No, they will follow. That's going to happen. His sheep are going to hear his voice. They're going to follow him. If any man would be my disciple, he said, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And I wouldn't be one bit surprised if no one ever followed Christ. That's exactly what I would expect. The miracle comes when they do. And there are those that do, that are willing to go against all human nature by the grace and power of God and the Holy Spirit, deny themselves, take up their crosses every single day, and follow the shepherd wherever he goes. There are some that do that. All of his sheep do, every single one of them. And let Satan do what he may. He cannot stop this. He cannot stop this. He's never been able to. Never will. As Israel followed the cloud in the wilderness, so the good shepherd leads his sheep and the sheep follow him. Everywhere he goes, they follow him. Remember, this was spoken to the enemy. And I give unto them eternal life. Every single one of them is going to get that. And I thought of Psalm 69 verse 4 here. Again, the context is hostility. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. He restored something that he didn't take away. Well, what did he restore? I give unto them eternal life. He didn't take that away. Who did? Who took that away? Adam took that away. When Adam rebelled against God in the Garden of Eden, he took away eternal life. Jesus Christ came and said, I'm going to restore that which I took not away. I'm going to give it back to him. Now, it's not going to look like it's all working pretty soon because he's going to die. He's already said that. He just got through saying, I lay down my life for the sheep. No man takes it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. He said that to his enemies. Right when they were plotting his death. So you guys aren't accomplishing anything. You're not taking my life from me. I am laying it down, and I'm laying it down for the sheep. Well, how can a dead shepherd help any sheep? Well, he's not going to stay dead. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. And by laying his life down, he was restoring eternal life to us. Because he was paying the price that we should have paid as our substitute. God is not going to just forget sin. He doesn't do that. Holy, and God is just, and there's going to be an answer to the sin question. And so the good shepherd says, I'm going to die for my sheep. And I'm going to give them eternal life. Notice he says, I give it to them. It's nothing that's earned. Nothing that you do to earn it or get it. It's a gift. It's a free gift from God. This is called grace. Spoken again to the enemy. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Eternal life. That means you're going to live forever. And we think of the beautiful John 3:16 here. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now there's a terrible contrast in John chapter 3. It's found in verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And then that terrible, terrible closing verse of Isaiah chapter 66, final verse of the beautiful book of Isaiah. A verse that is so terrible that when the Jews read it, they don't stop there. They go back and reread a few of the verses before. They never end on verse 24, but the book does. And they shall go forth, God's people, and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. And they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. So it's either eternal life or it's eternal death. No other choice. They shall never perish, my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I'd like you to notice very carefully, and you look in your Bibles, your King James Bibles, the word man is in italics. What does that mean? What? Yeah, it's not in the original. Now, the word man is not in the original. The translators added that to try to make it clearer. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Now, they're talking about man. And, you know, and the Pharisees were trying to do that. There's no question about that. But remember, there's also principalities and power and spiritual wickedness in high places. There's the devil. He's not going to be able to do it either. It's not just a man can't do it. Nobody can do it. The devil himself can't do it. He can't pluck anyone out of his hand. You look up the word pluck in a concordance. A very, very interesting word. It's called harpazo. That's the Greek word is harpazo. It means to snatch violently away. And I seem to remember from studying Roman mythology, Greek or Roman mythology, that there were some birds called harpies. I think that's taken from this word harpazo. And these harpies would always be flying around, and whenever anybody would sit down to eat, the food on the table, the harpies would come down and snatch the food away, and away they'd go. Nobody could get anything to eat because the harpies kept coming and snatching it away from them. Nobody liked harpies very much. And I think that's what that word was taken from, this word harpazo, which means to snatch violently away. The word is used 13 times in Scripture. And in Scripture, 13 is the number of war. And this is a war. Don't kid yourself. The devil is trying to snatch this away. This is the same word, by the way, that's used in Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. And I took a guess at this during the week. I thought, I'll bet that's the same word. I looked it up, and it was. And it didn't surprise me a bit. Matthew 13, verse 19. And this is an explanation of the first part of the parable of the sower and the seed, where Jesus said, The sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And the explanation is, in verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. The word catch away is the word harpazo, same word that's translated pluck them out of my hand in John 10. This is what the devil likes to do. When the word of God is sown in a person's heart, the devil likes to come and violently snatch it away. Take it away, because it's through the word that we receive salvation. And the word is Jesus Christ. And the picture Christ is giving us is here. Look, I have my sheep. And my sheep are in my hand. And the devil himself and all his wicked ones are not going to be able to come and snatch them away. They can't do it. And remember, he said this to the enemy. If he was talking to his friends, that would be one thing. You know, it's easy to talk tough when you're talking to mom-friendly people. When you're confronting the enemy, you have to have something to back that up. He's confronting the enemy. No one, nothing, no person, no being is going to be able to pluck them out of my hand. Well, you know, sheep have a lot of enemies. What about lions? What about wolves? What about bear? You know, remember, we pointed out that there are seven individual shepherds in the Bible. And John 10 gives us the seventh one, the good one. Well, one of the other shepherds said something one time, David. We're back in 1 Samuel chapter 17. When David was going to go out and fight Goliath, and David said something that relates to exactly what we're talking about. David said to Saul, you know, Goliath came down. He came down for 40 days in a row. And he issued the challenge to God's out of the army of Israel, send somebody out to fight with me. They were all afraid to do it. And the 40th day that he came out, David was there delivering supplies to his brothers, and he heard the giant and volunteered to go out and fight him. So I'm not afraid of him. Well, I'll go out and fight him. And David said to Saul was the king, let no man's heart fail because of him. Now don't be afraid of this guy. Now, thy servant will go fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You can't do it. For thou art but a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth. And this guy's too tough for you. You never really hack it. And David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he hath defied the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the paw of this Philistine. The King James has handled the same word. Now, this was a foreshadowing. David, the shepherd, was a foreshadowing of the good shepherd. And this is exactly what Jesus has in mind. He says, nobody's able to pluck them out of my hand. I'm going to fight for them. I'm going to defend them. And then, as if that's not good enough, then he says this. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So you see, we're in good hands. The picture here is this. It's very simple. Jesus holds out his hand. In his hand are his sheep. The Heavenly Father comes with his hand and puts them over, and the sheep are held in the hands of the Father and the Son. And the devil can't pry them open. Now, I don't know of any more comforting words in the whole Bible than we've got right here. A child of God does not have to worry when he goes to bed at night and get a good night's sleep. And you don't have to worry about what the future is going to hold. Because your salvation isn't dependent upon you. You're to obey your Lord, and you're to walk according to his commands, and you study his word, and you meditate upon it day and night. You do that, and he blesses obedience. And his promise to you is, you're not going to perish. I'm holding you in my hand, and the Father is holding you in his hand, and the devil himself can't snatch you away. Now, if you want to arise and give Christ a standing ovation, you go right ahead. And that every child of God is so happy when you hear these words. The shocking contrast comes in verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. I can't please everybody. We'll continue, God willing, next week. We'll close with prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that in the very face of our enemies, you have prepared a table before us and fed us with your holy precious word, which gives us the comfort and assurance that our eternal welfare is held not in our own frail hands, but in your hands and the hands of the Father. And we pray that you would give this comfort to each one of us here and each one of your elect, so that when the devil roars and tries to frighten us and walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, we may listen to your comforting words and believe what you have to tell us. Fear not. I pray this in your name. Amen.